from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. It's the best day of the week. It is a Thursday, August 1. Welcome in, everybody, to the Insiders. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That guy right there, that is James Hamm. Good morning, James Hamm. Applause for James Hamm.
Hello.
I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey, and they will rock with you until 4 o'clock. Want to remind everybody at the top here, and by everybody, I mean myself. We're giving away 2 tickets to a Sacramento Rivercats game, but not just any old tickets. We got a suite. ESPN 1320 has a suite to the game on Friday, August 16th, and we are filling it with listeners. We're giving away tickets every day this week and every day next week. We are giving away a pair of tickets to that suite on Friday, August 16th. So keep listening for the keyword. We will make it very clear when we are saying the keyword, and you will enter at ESPN1320.com to try and win your pair of tickets to ESPN 1320 suite night at the Rivercats game on Friday, August 16th. Apparently Simone Biles messed up.
Oh.
Body language is terrible.
Well, she's second.
Yeah, she's second after the second rotation in the women's individual all-around final. If you don't want Olympic updates, we will make them clear, and we will tell you to turn your radio or computer down briefly.
That's right.
I think she might have messed up. I don't know. I don't know enough about it. We talked about this the other day. I'd be a terrible judge. Everybody gets tens.
Yeah, because what she messed up on, we watched the replay, and it's like, oh, now I see what she did wrong.
I still don't.
No.
You miss a bar by a little. I'm like, nah.
Well, yeah, but it killed her momentum, so she had to do an extra swing to get her momentum back.
Sure.
So,
totally.
Yeah, absolutely crazy watching these people. Like, just the culmination of an entire life's work.
You know.
Just really, really impressive to watch these folks go at it here at the Olympics.
Love the Olympics. Speaking of the Olympics, Team USA beat South Sudan 103-86 yesterday. That is the men's basketball team. We'll discuss that coming up in a bit. But the Giants. I want to open with some baseball here.
Okay.
The San Francisco Giants beat the A's 1-0 last night. They did not hit the over. That was the pick I gave out. I gave out Giants minus a run and a half. Plus the over. They didn't even cover the over of 1.5. They wouldn't have gotten there. 1-0, Giants win. Logan Webb, Sacramento legend, complete game shutout. 5 hits, a walk, 6 strikeouts. Optimism back for San Francisco.
They're
Giants
back.
Fans everywhere, fired up. They're going to go to the World Series. Farhan is, extend him now.
I expect Kenny to come in with a... With a full-fledged Giants jersey
full
on
uniform
today. Yeah.
Pants and stirrups and everything.
Yep.
I did think it was funny that there was a big deal made. First of all, time. Do you see the time of the game? Hour and 55 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
Game just cruised. And Logan Webb only needed an hour and 55 minutes. Like, hey, that means the Giants didn't hit either.
Yeah.
That's bad. That's like, that's all around. The complete game shutout is great. Logan Webb is awesome. I love watching him pitch. He is just a dog. He was outstanding. But it takes two to make a game short. And Ross Stripling was really good last night as well.
I think that might speak more volume, that Ross Stripling was able to lower his ERA from like a 6.02 to like a 5.62.
Yeah,
that's
I would agree with you.
That's not great.
It was not a good offensive night for either team, but this is the A's problem. We talked about this yesterday. If they're not hitting the ball over the fence, then they're probably not scoring any runs, and lo and behold, they didn't hit the ball over the fence and they didn't score any runs.
Yeah. It's a tough look.
Yeah.
You know, like at some point you got to be able to manufacture runs, and
that's it.
I don't know why, like, they don't even, they've got speed. Like, why are you not, like, getting guys in running in scoring position? Why does every guy who comes up, like, with guys on first and second with no outs, why is every single one of those guys swinging for the fence?
Because bunting is bad. Bunting and making it out on purpose is a bad thing to do.
But advancing the runner isn't. Like figure out how to advance a runner.
Okay.
So
I'm going to make an analogy. Figure out how to advance a runner. Okay. So you can't hit a ground ball in that situation because you risk a double play.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So now you're trying to hit a fly ball. That analogy to me is like shooting a long two instead of a three. Like, I'm going to try and hit a fly ball that gets deep enough to move the runners to second and to third, but not deep enough to go over the fence. Like, no, if you're going to try and hit a fly ball, try and hit it over the fence.
No, I get that, but like, there has to be some sort of situational hit. You can't be swinging out of your shoes in every single situation.
And this lands us back to, I think, the overall issue with that the A's have is that they're just not that good.
No.
They don't have enough guys who are capable of that.
Yeah, we talked about like the Mark Canha signing yesterday, and like the A's used to have like 14 dudes in their lineup that could hit on their bench, that could, you know, they could work a count, they could figure out a way to advance a runner.
Sure.
You know, guys like Jed Lowry. You know, you don't have to be a superstar, but the fact that you can go out there and be a really solid player, take pitches, like work a count, all that stuff, they don't have that. You watch, you're like, all right, this is literally beer league softball.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, this ties a little bit back into what Kenny was saying during the handoff on Tuesday, I guess. He was talking about pitchers and how pitchers don't go deep into games anymore, save for Logan Webb last night. But pitchers don't typically go deep into games anymore. And we talked about pitcher health, and I think you hit the nail on the head that we've got players from the time they're 8 years old playing travel ball, and then they're playing high school ball, and they're playing Legion ball, and they're playing year round. And on top of that, they've got separate coaches and they're specializing in the sport so early in life. And I think another issue that comes with that is baseball's already hard, right?
Like, yeah.
Hitting a baseball is already tough. Well, now you've got pitchers who are all throwing between 97 and 102 with movement. And pitchers now are just nasty. And so I think the notion of stringing together 4, 5, 6 hits and getting a rally going like that, it happens sometimes, to be sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think that, I think the offensive strategy of 3 true outcomes, walk, strikeout, or home run, is just the most efficient way to try and score runs against, okay, you're going to have a starting pitcher who's throwing 97 with a 91 mile an hour sinker and, or 91 mile an hour slider, and they got 96 on the sinker. And it's really, really tough. And then they're going to go to their bullpen where it's going to be one inning of every guy throws 98 to 100. And they also have some kind of sinker or splitter or something, some kind of out pitch where, hey, getting a hit is tough, much less, okay, we're going to get a base hit here and we're going to try and get that guy to second and we're going to get another hit. I think, I know this sounds really dumb. I understand, but I think the sport's just too hard for that.
It might be like the fact that you can't manufacture runs anymore, maybe, but like we talked about it the other day, the A's had 4 home runs and scored 5 runs.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody, like, it's okay that you have a bunch of guys who are swinging for the fences, but you have to also have a couple of guys who aren't, who are trying to get on base and trying to wear down pitchers, and are they're the guys that are actually, you know, scoring runs in front of your home run hitters. So, yeah, to me, I don't know. It's just it's pretty wild to watch.
Yeah, I think there's going to be so much value. I think we're going to see baseball change pretty dramatically over the next maybe decade or two, where I think you're going to start seeing more and more pitchers start throwing, you know, 92, 93, where you do see guys like Kenny brought up Greg Maddux. Like, nobody pitches the way Greg Maddux pitched.
No.
Yeah, and I think it's partly because you can't, because hitters are so much better now. But I think we are going to see, with the influx of, like you said, guys that are just swinging for the fences, like, that's what they know to do. They're going to try and hit the ball over the fence. I think you're going to start seeing more value in pitchers who can locate and pitchers with movement and pinpointing placement and trying to get a couple of inches off the outside corner. I think you're going to start seeing more and more of that to adapt to hitters who have adjusted so much to being able to just sit dead red on 102. Like, okay, I hope I'm going to get a straight fastball here, and if I do, I'm going to try and hit it over the fence, or I'm going to hope that I get a hanging slider or sinker or whatever. I'm going to try and hit it over the fence. And at the same time, I also think you're going to see hitters have to adapt to do what you're talking about, where now you are working counts. Now you are, inside outing a pitch into right field and turning a single into a double, and just kind of the fundamental things that we knew about baseball through the 70s and the 80s into the early 90s.
Yeah.
I think the game is going to start moving back that direction, partly for I think because it's just going to kind of have to, because I don't think whatever offenses are doing now and whatever pitchers are doing now, I don't think it's sustainable for either side.
No, I think you're totally right. I mean, watching, again, like a team like the Giants, who they don't have the home run hitters. So so what are you going to do if you don't have enough home run hitters? You're just going to lose. Yeah, like your offense, unless your pitching is just astronomical.
Yeah.
And that's how they've survived. That's how they're around 500, because their pitching's really good. But the sport is really coming down to just like who hits the most home runs. And it's really a strange thing that's all it is. So, yeah, I don't know. I would like to, I don't think we need to go back to like Whitey Herzog's, St. Louis Cardinals in 1985, where it's like nothing but stolen bases and singles. But, I would like to at least see some variance on what we're watching. It seems like there's not even guys drawing a bunch of walks or anything. It just feels like home runs or bust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of strikeouts.
Yeah, so I think we're going to see that change quite a bit. The Giants beat the A's 1-0 last night. Both Giants and A's off today. San Francisco heading to Cincinnati to begin a weekend series tomorrow. The A's welcoming in the Dodgers. Do you know the Dodgers? I wrote about this at Sporting News. They were outscored in the month of July, 137 to 104.
Okay.
In the month of July. That is the first time they have been outscored for a calendar month since September of 2017.
Wow.
They have outscored their opponents in every single month for 45 consecutive months.
That's crazy.
Regular season, of course.
Regular season.
They struggle in the playoffs.
You said 2017. That's like 7 years.
Yes.
That's
of just
wild.
Every month. The last time they had a record below 500 for a full month was April of 2018.
Whew. That's I mean,
ridiculous.
They spend the money.
And they have one title to show for it, which is...
Yeah, that's wild, too.
Yeah.
And
rough go for them.
Yeah, and isn't it like the bubble title?
Yes.
Yeah, the equivalent of...
I try not to... I know, it
is what it is. It's a title.
But
yeah,
you get a lot of people, namely a lot of Giants fans. I'm sure there's some in the chatty house right now that are like, yeah, no, it doesn't count.
Bubble championship,
no.
Lakers.
Mark Willard down at 95.7 will do this bit. He goes, no, it's a championship. It's a third of one. It's about a third of a championship. No, but it's it is. Yeah.
That's funny.
That's great. I love the Giants Dodger driver is so fun.
Yeah.
Olympics. Team USA men's basketball beat South Sudan 103-86 in a game that it felt closer than that to me. South Sudan is good.
They are good, man. They play defense. They're long. They're athletic. They remind you of every team that the Kings struggle against.
Yes.
Like the Kings would struggle against that team.
Yeah.
They're just so long and athletic, man. At like every position, guys are just going out there and fighting a good fight. And like every single possession, they're just gritty and like whatever they lack in talent, they make up in motor. Very intriguing to watch.
The thing that I was so impressed by yesterday with them, again, because it's not a shock that they played Team USA to a 17-point deficit. They only lost to them by one on the showcase. And they beat the heck out of Puerto Rico in their first group play game. But they got down big pretty early. And I thought, I'm watching this and I'm going, oh, man. If you bet the over, if you took the U.S. minus 29.5, which was the last spread I saw, if you need the U.S. to win this by 30, you feel good right now. Like, they're kind of cruising.
Mm-hmm.
And that South Sudan never gave up after that and just kept they clawing, fighting, get it to 11, get it to 13. Okay, it's back to 17 or 18. Okay, nope, back to 12. I was just thoroughly impressed by how hard they played for 40 minutes.
Yeah, they're gritty.
And it's a team that was just way better.
You would love to see them like get more of an opportunity here to like mm-hmm. find success like that. Yeah. Lou Aldang isn't the only backer. You know, they are building their first indoor gym by the end of the year, I heard. Mm-hmm. But we're talking like they're trying to scramble to build outdoor courts and stuff. It's just wild to
cool.
It's 2024 and this is what's happening. And to see a team come out of nowhere mm-hmm. and to be this impactful and this effective, like win or lose, this is, you know, like this is something that you should make like a movie about. This is like mm-hmm. watching Cool Runnings, you know, with the Jamaican bobsled team. But it just like, to me, it's really super impressive.
It's a great movie, by the way.
Yeah. John Candy.
Yeah. Team USA has won their two games by combined score of, let's see, they beat South Sudan by 17. And how many did they beat Serbia by? 26.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So 43 points. They are plus 43 in two games. And all anybody can talk about from the first game is, oh, Jason Tatum didn't play. And what about 26? But I get it.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum should have played in that game. No doubt.
Yeah.
I am fully on board with the idea that Jason Tatum could have played all Derek White's minutes and Team USA would have been better. No doubt. In this game against South Sudan, Joel Embiid did not play. That leads to the discourse about Joel Embiid. I can't decide if Team USA is so good, if they are just head and shoulders above everybody else, and this is what the discourse has to be about, or we wouldn't have anything to talk about with them. There's plenty of storylines and stuff in the Olympics, but with Team USA men's basketball, there wouldn't be anything to talk about otherwise. Or if this is just how our brains have been warped to talk about basketball. That the individual of it all matters more than anything. And that's just the, okay, let's see, you're going to watch a game. Joel Embiid was on the bench the whole game? What does this mean for Joel Embiid?
It's funny, Kyle. When I worked for NBC, they decided to put in a Doug Christie cam, right? So Doug's celebrations, like during the game or like just, like,
oh, it was great.
They put a camera right there just looking at Doug.
Had to.
Right?
Had to.
Spectacular. And that's where you get like the memes,
mm-hmm.
right? Hang on, I'm going to sneeze.
It was great because Doug just loves basketball. And you could tell in those moments where he's just being a broadcaster, but he was also just being a fan.
Yep.
Like that was in the moment he lost the headset. He was not a guy sitting next to a broadcaster. Right. He was not somebody gift that, please. He was not a guy sitting next to a broadcaster. He was a fan who got to sit courtside
yes.
at an NBA game. It was really cool.
Well, now what they've done is they have the Mike Brown cam. So you can watch. They have Mike Brown because Mike Brown's reactions during the game are spectacular. Mike Brown, they stick with Mike Brown going to timeout, right? because Mike Brown going to timeouts can be volatile, and him and players can either like be hugging each other or having like philosophical discussions on the court. And I feel like that's carried over to the games where it's like, here is the Joel Embiid sitting angry on the bench cam. Oh, let's pan to the Jason Tatum sitting angrily on the bench cam. And it's like the most awkward thing to sit there and watch a guy like,
I get it.
Like, yeah. I just want to play, man.
Yeah, just sitting there just angry.
Disengaged.
Yeah.
Like, you know, gets up, high fives some people, doesn't high five others. Yeah. Like when people come out of the game, it's like, like maybe he gives them a high five.
Yeah.
This is like the best of the best and you want to play, and I totally get it. And you're so used to playing if you're Joel Embiid. But at the same time, this is about winning a gold. And like, so I think the discourse on it is very intriguing that we are so hyper-focused on the look of the players on the bench who aren't playing as opposed to the players on the court who are playing and the victories that they're coming away with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just bizarre.
That Steph Curry yesterday had 3 points, and he went 0-for-6. I think he was 0-for-6 from 3 and 1-of-9 from the field.
Bench
at
him.
3 points.
Clearly.
I think he's a guy. I think he's got to sit next to
He's got to go.
I do think with Joel Embiid specifically, just to zoom out here for a second, I kind of think that this is the way they have to operate, though. Where he is like the third big man in the big man rotation.
Yeah.
Where, hey, if you're going to play Nikola Jokic, all right, Joel Embiid's going to get you some minutes. You're playing against France and you've got Victor Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert out there. All right, you're going to need Joel Embiid to give you some minutes. But against South Sudan, against Canada, maybe Germany, whoever else they're going to play, the United States are at their best when they are getting out. They are running. They are running this free-flowing, fast-paced offense where you have Anthony Davis, who's not... You're not going to rely on Anthony Davis to be a three-point shooter, but he can credibly shoot from the outside where teams have to defend it, especially in FIBA, where the line is closer. Same thing, Bam Adebayo has been shooting three-pointers in these Olympics and knocking them down. I think that's where this version of Team USA is at its best. That's, again, not to disparage Joel Embiid. I would probably bet on him to be MVP if I could. But I think with the fit with this particular team, that's just kind of the role he has to take on if they're going to maximize what they're doing.
Yeah.
They just look like a different team when he's not on the court.
Yeah.
In a good way.
No, I think it
is. Crazy.
Like you look much better like without him on the court. So you got to do what's best for the team. And I know it's tough. And I know it's tough for like a former MVP to sit there and like have to watch. But at the same time, like everybody there is pretty much an all-star or close to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's kind of crazy seeing how much Derek White is playing. That's the most, I don't know, I'm going to say Steve Kerr because he's the head coach. Maybe this is a Ty Lue thing. Maybe it's a Mark Few thing. Maybe it's a Spoelstra thing. Or I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure it's not a dictatorship. I'm sure there's discussion amongst the coaches about who's starting and who's playing. I think it's peak Steve Kerr to go, yeah, Derek White, he knows what to do.
Yeah.
We're going to put him out there. He's going to be our guy in these Olympics. He's going to play a ton.
Yeah.
Is he the quote worst, with all due respect, quote unquote worst player on the team? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But hey, he's going to get run.
Yeah. Dude, and a lot of run.
Typical.
And he has been typical good. I mean, he's great defensively.
He's so good.
You know, like they are a lockdown defensive team when they want to be. Yeah. Like
the other thing I've really enjoyed is watching everybody spreads out and lets Anthony Edwards just cook.
Yeah.
Where he just has somebody that can't defend him and he's just going to go to work and get inside and get a good shot. That's been fun. I like watching Ant hoop.
Yeah, no, he's a lot of fun, and you know, he's the future of the game. You can see he's going to be one of the faces of the game for the next decade, and this is like the handoff isn't happening, but you can sort of see,
I think it's happening. It hasn't happened all the way.
Yeah.
But it is in the course of it, and Ant's got cosigns from everybody on that team.
Yeah.
Like they love him. The other thing I thought was really interesting yesterday was it looked like early on South Sudan and Team USA made some adjustments, but it looked like their offensive game plan was to isolate and attack LeBron.
Oh.
Which I thought was super interesting. And I kind of wonder if you're going to see NBA teams start trying to do that.
That's interesting. I also, like, they just kept throwing Wenyen Gabriel one-on-one on him. And it's like, hey, like...
Yeah, it's not going to probably work.
No, like, do what you can. Like, I remember the Kings tried that. Mm-hmm. Like, when Wenyen Gabriel was in Sacramento and they needed somebody to go out and defend LeBron, they did the same with Jakar Sampson. It's like, hey, we signed you to a 10-day. We need you to defend LeBron tonight. Can you do that? It's like, yeah, I got you. I got you. So.
It's really funny that LeBron has been in the league. This is going to be 22? You're 22 coming up?
Something like that. Yeah, 2003. Yeah.
24, 25, yeah, because it's a two. Yeah. So you're 22 coming up. And there's just never been a player who defends him particularly well. I guess Kawhi did in those finals in 20, what was that, 12? 2012 finals?
Maybe.
13? Whatever that was. Kawhi did a nice job on him, but there's never been the person that's just, oh man, you throw that guy on LeBron.
Yeah.
You see PJ Tucker get thrown at him, Jay Crowder, the Jakar Sampsons of the world. Every team's like, all right, hey, we got a guy who's 6'9 and built. Yeah. Let's try that. Nope. Not gonna work.
It's crazy. I remember having a conversation with Doug Christie, and he said during the 2001 or 2000 playoff series against the Lakers, he would run at Kobe and stick his hand in his face,
mm-hmm.
and Kobe started missing shots. And he said, so, like, it went through the whole series like this, and they eventually lost, but you could see that it got under Kobe's skin. Then the next round, they faced the same thing with, like, Bruce Bowen just ran around with his hand in Kobe's face, like copying what Doug was doing. And then Doug said, we go away, we come back, we play them in the preseason. I tried to do it in the preseason, and it did not matter what I did. Kobe must have spent the entire offseason with somebody running around with their hand in his face because he knew exactly where he was on the court at all times, and it did not matter if he couldn't see the rim at all. The ball went through the hoop every time.
Diabolical. And he's like,
it was the most impressive thing, the game of chess between the two. He's like, I thought I had something on him,
mm-hmm.
and he beat it so quickly, and it was...
One offseason.
No longer could do that at all anymore. I had to come up with something new. He's like, his work ethic and his ability to adjust to the game was just so far superior to anyone else that he had seen. Just really impressed.
That's got
to
be so demoralizing. That is akin to punching someone in the face like as hard as you can, like you're gonna fight somebody, and you throw the first punch and you just really get into it and catch them right on the button, right on the jaw, and they just don't flinch.
Yeah,
that is like, okay, now what do I do? I threw my best punch. Now what?
Yeah, or it's like, you know, you got a guy out on your changeup like 8 consecutive times, and then you come back the next year, and the first time you throw him a changeup, he puts it like 18 rows deep.
Yeah,
yeah.
What do you do?
What just happened? Like, oh no, he can hit your changeup now.
Yep.
It's over.
Yep.
Come up with something else.
Yeah. And that's where that work ethic comes in.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now it's work on something else. Like, all right, I'm going to have to get in the gym at 4 a.m. every day and start trying to figure something out. And not everybody's built like that, man.
No, not at all.
Man, Kobe was something else. All right. We have an NBA veteran hangs up his sneakers. We've got NFL top 100 rankings. You're going to be pretty surprised at where some of these 49ers rank on that list. And then Malik Monk, is he the favorite to win sixth man of the year this season? We'll talk about that coming up as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We are rocking with you until noon on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Theater.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Kyle Madsen here, James Hamm there, Jiffy Lube the sponsor. I guess Voice Guy just said that. You're welcome, Jiffy Lube. Extra mention.
Extra mention. Three times
mention. No disrespect to Voice Guy, who works very hard. He sits around all day waiting for us to come back from break. And he sits, he's got a little video monitor, he sees us, I point at that video monitor, and he lets us know. The guy's sitting around.
He's a man in the box.
Does that for radio shows everywhere.
That's right. It's just his job. This one guy. Should we do the keyword of the day?
Yeah, we can, because now it's awkward if I say no. So we are giving away two tickets to the Rivercats game on Friday, August 16th. ESPN 1320 has a suite. We have a suite at that game, and we are inviting you. Go to ESPN1320.com right now. You'll see the contest page. At that contest page, you are going to enter the keyword catch. Today's keyword is catch. C-A-T-C-H. Catch, as in have a catch, play catch, diving catch.
Yeah, have a catch.
Made the catch.
Made the catch, yep.
Deadliest catch.
She's a catch.
Nice.
Just saying.
Chicken catchatory.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Catch got your tongue.
Nice. That's a good. That's really good. That's where we're gonna end that. That's where we're gonna stop. Gordon Hayward is retiring. 14 years he played in the league.
Well, sort of.
He has been an NBA player for 14 years.
He's collected a paycheck for 14 years, yes. But he's missed multiple seasons.
Stop.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward.
We do this a lot where we discuss the sports aging thing.
Yeah.
And that's how I think if you're a big sports fan, to be totally frank, if you're listening to sports talk radio on August 1st, I know that you deal with this.
Yeah.
You probably, either all the time or at times, judge time based on sports things.
Mm-hmm.
I know X, Y, and Z happened in this year because that was the year that A, B, and C happened in sports. Like, yeah. That's how I associate things. Gordon Hayward being a pro for 14 seasons, I remember sitting at Sac State watching Gordon Hayward play in the NCAA men's basketball tournament.
Oh.
His half-court heave when Butler played, was it UConn?
Oh.
Is it UConn that they played? Or Duke? Was it Duke was a half-court one?
It's a good question. It's 2009-2010 season.
So that was March of 10. So that must have been... Don't remember. Doesn't matter. I remember I was at Sac State when that... The fact that college was 14 years ago is ruining me.
Yeah, it's wild.
I'm not having a good time right now. Gordon had a full-ass 14-year NBA career.
Yeah.
I watched him in college play for 14 seasons in the NBA. That's a long-ass time. And now he's hanging up his shoes. He's done. He's retiring.
That's wild.
All that life has happened.
Hey, I've covered the league since the day he came in the league in 2010.
All of life.
This
so
will be
much
my
15th
season. Yeah.
So much has happened.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I gotta sit down. 14?
14. Yeah, like Kyle.
Oh my God. It makes sense. I'm not surprised. Okay, I'm not surprised. It wasn't like if somebody said, how long has Gordon Hayward been in the league? I would have been like, 6 years. It's not that. I probably would have said something like 9 or 10, though. 14?
Yeah. Well. It's tough. I mean, again, he's a guy who had just a ton of talent and, you know, made an all-star team, and then everything went downhill for him after the all-star team. It was, what, three games into the... Oh, no. It was the opening game of the 2017-18 season when he had left Utah as an all-star, signed with the Boston Celtics. 5 minutes into the game, he had a catastrophic injury that really derailed what would have been, you know, probably a very, very solid career. Never fully bounced back from that, but, you know, Boston, Charlotte, Utah, finished with OKC.
14 years!
14 years, yeah. No, I mean, like, look, I think for me, he's one of those players that we put on the list of players that you wish you would have got to see more of, that injuries, like, really robbed you of watching him, you know, or of watching him at his, like, his peak. Like, he got there for 1 year and then it was all kind of downhill from there. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Good player, though. Solid player.
He's really, really good.
Yeah.
Were you going to do the all injury team thing?
We can do it if you'd like.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Gordon Hayward, we talked yesterday about players who were like all in theory. Like, in theory, this guy would be really good XYZ. Think Jeff Green.
Yeah.
Think, who is it? Robert Williams.
Yep.
Like, in theory, that guy, but injuries often play a part in that. I think Gordon Hayward goes on, even though he played for 14 years, it wasn't like injuries ended his career. But he was just never quite the same after that injury with Boston.
Yeah, it was like a catastrophic lower leg injury.
Yeah, he just never quite got the same.
Like Paul George, but Paul George bounced back from... Yeah. Similar type injury, yeah. Like a complete lower leg snap.
Yeah. Penny Hardaway is the first name that came to mind for me.
Of guys who, okay. Like,
didn't quite reach their ceiling because injuries slowed him down.
Yeah, I think injuries slowed him down, but also, like, the love of the game wasn't always there. And, like, I know someone who played with him at one point and said that, like, he would show up to a game and be like, "Ah, oh, I forgot my shoes. I'm out tonight."
What?
And they're like, "Wait, what? No, we got like a whole closet
my
full
shoes.
Yeah, those are the shoes I was wearing tonight, so I'm not gonna play tonight." Yeah.
That's hard to believe, considering he like coaches now.
Yeah, huh. I don't know. Like, I guess, but there's a difference between coaching and being a player who makes a lot of money and, yeah, tough.
Yeah, he went 82 Ooh. Games, 77, 82, then 59, 19, played all 50 games in the 98-99 season, but then 64, 80, 58, 76, 34, 76, 37, 4. Retired for a year and then came back.
I think, like for me, like we have some great names popping up in the chatty house, mm-hmm. like Greg Oden.
No, Greg Oden's a really good one.
Sam Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Ooh, Sampson.
Tough for Portland.
Yeah, Ralph Sampson was mm-hmm. was on my list, but the guy who still made the Hall, but to me, we didn't get to see like what he would have been at his best was Grant Hill.
Mm,
like the ankle injuries
sure.
like robbed him of like 3 or 4 years where he just wasn't able to stay on the court full time.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Jonathan Isaac thing. Like you want to like believe that Jonathan Isaac can be like a great player, mm-hmm. but then every time you really look at his numbers, you're like, okay, he's averaging, you know, 18, 22 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And he's only playing in 40 something games. He's never been able to stay healthy. Catastrophic knee injuries, all kinds of things mm-hmm. went wrong. And that brings like the other guy that I think all of us would love to have seen, especially here in Sacramento, is Harry Giles. What would Harry Giles have been?
It's a really good one.
Yeah. If he didn't have the catastrophic knee injury at 15 and then the other knee at age mm-hmm. 17, you know, and Harry's still trying to fight to get in the league. To stick in the league and all that stuff, but really, really tough. You know, I think injuries are such a huge part of the game, but some of these players, you're always just left like with the what if. Like, what yeah. if we would have got to see him at his peak?
God, there's so many of these. There's so many good names coming up in the chatty house right now at youtube.com/ESPN1320. Sean Livingston.
Oh.
Look, Sean Livingston wound up being around for a long time. And yeah. carving out a really nice niche with the Warriors. But Sean Livingston should have been like that guy.
Yeah, he was
Sean Livingston was on track to be a perennial MVP candidate type of player before his injury.
Okay. I like he was really good mm-hmm. and then his knee injuries were catastrophic. I mean they were like Danny
like
Manning.
Might not walk again.
Yeah, Danny yeah. Manning, same thing. Yeah. Like, I was, even late in his career, I remember being at a Kings game where Danny Manning took a bad step as a member of the Clippers mm-hmm. and blew out his knee again, like, right there. And was like, oh, no. He had so many injuries. The Bobby Hurley stuff here in Sacramento is absolutely wild.
It's devastating.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, I think, 14 games into his NBA career.
Just brutal.
Yeah.
Just brutal. Yao Ming, another one.
Oh, he's probably at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I forgot about Yao Ming, like, it ending his career so short because of injury.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he was so huge, man. Yes. Watching him on a court, like...
He still is. He's,
yeah,
he's
anyone massive. Ever wants to know just how massive Yao Ming is, yeah. just type in Yao Ming Shaq into a Google search.
Outrageous.
He makes Shaq look
Looks
like,
ridiculous.
like a normal person.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Derrick Rose, another one that came
out. Oh, yeah.
Up.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, Derrick Rose and Brandon Roy, too. I think Brandon Roy is the one for me. Because he's the play. That was, he came in at about the time that my NBA fandom like really ramped up, where I really started following
yep.
the entire, and it was, man, Brandon Roy is the dude. Like, just everything about him, he's just a badass, and just degenerative knee issues. Just cut his career super short.
Yeah, and I don't even remember him having like a massive injury as much of it was like his knees just fell apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like literally, that's just, he played for 7 years in the league.
And that was kind of the same with Ralph Sampson. Like just one day his knees were no longer there. But he, like at his height, he ran straight legged. He like really, like body mechanics really could have helped him. You know, I don't know what Ralph Sampson looks like now, like, because all the injuries that he sustained would have yeah. been, you know.
Brandon Roy, I'm sorry, played for 6 years. He retired for a year and then came back. His career was over at 28 years old. He was the rookie of the year in year one. He averaged 17 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, and shot 37.7% from 3. He was an all-star his second year. His third year, he was a top 10 MVP. He was top 10 in MVP voting, second team All-NBA and an All-Star. His third year, he was third team All-NBA and an All-Star. But that third year, he played 65 games. Or was that the lockout season, 09-10?
Yeah, 010, yeah, after 2010-11. The
11-12.
The summer of 11. Yeah, it's 11-12 is the lockout season.
Okay, so that was, so he played, okay, 65 games in 09-10 and then 47 in 10-11.
Mm.
And then retired and then played in five games with Minnesota in 2012-13.
That's wild.
That was it.
So looking at Grant Hill, as a second year player, MVP balloting, ninth. Third year, he was third. Fourth year, he was ninth, eighth, and his and then his 28, 29, 30, 31 season completely done away with. His 28 year, he had 14 games, 29 games. Then he missed an entire season. He came back and played 67, and then as a 33-year-old, played 17. So over a 5-year stretch, 6-year stretch, he played around 100 games. Yeah, just absolutely, just crazy, crazy how he fell apart.
But then to bounce back after that,
yeah.
And at 35 play 70 games, at 36 play all 82,
yeah.
37 playing 81, 38 playing 80, all those with Phoenix, that's super impressive. And finishing as a Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
So wild.
Oh, that's 16, not 6th. But yeah, 16th, 7th, and 14th as Defensive Player of the Year. 14th in DPOY voting as a 39-year-old.
Absolutely amazing.
I think he's the player that I don't want to go through the process of picking, hey, which one of these guys would you have liked it? Because all of them.
Yeah.
I want to see all of the good players always stay healthy all of the time. That's what everybody wants when you're watching sport. But I think Grant Hill is the one that I would most like to have seen, particularly in college and then through his first few years, because I was four when he entered the league.
Yeah.
So those first 10 years of his career, 7-8 years of his career, I guess, I don't have any recollection.
Yeah, the only recollection you have is as an injured player and then as an
old guy with Orlando and Phoenix.
Yeah. Which is interesting. I mean, he was a co-rookie of the year, if I'm not mistaken, with Jason Kidd in the 94-95 season.
You said rookie of the year. That is correct.
Yeah.
Good knowledge by you. Really well done.
Yeah, that was a heck of a draft. Glenn Robinson, number one.
Eddie Jones, Brian Grant, Juwan Howard.
Yeah, it's a good draft.
Golly. Man.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Interesting stuff. I mean, good for Gordon Hayward, though. Get out while you can still move around. You know, he hasn't been as impactful as he should have been. And over the last couple of years, he's just kind of been kind of a throw-in. But yeah, good for him.
I have a question for you. So two things. I think the writing was on the wall for him with OKC last year. OKC could have really used a Gordon Hayward.
Oh yeah.
And he just didn't play. Because I just don't think he's got it anymore.
Like, no, there was nothing left. Nothing left.
Having a veteran who could handle the basketball and score a little bit and know where to be on the floor and know how to handle a big spot, that was OKC could have absolutely used Gordon Hayward. And the fact that he didn't get on the court, I think, was just kind of a sign. If a team had signed Gordon Hayward,
mm-hmm.
you and I would have treated that as though, like, okay, he's going to play. Like,
yeah.
So good for Gordon Hayward, like you said, before putting any more miles on his body. Bebe, in the YouTube chat, throws this name in there.
Oh,
Kawhi
yeah.
Leonard.
Oh.
I think I'm inclined. Like, Kawhi's going to be. I think Kawhi is in a little bit in the Grant Hill bucket, where Hall of Fame career. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. There is nobody doubting that Kawhi Leonard is awesome and has had a phenomenal career once he decides to retire. But there was some meat left on the bone, I think.
Oh yeah. There's like a want for more for sure with Kawhi.
And I think there still is, even though that's probably unreasonable at this point because he has dealt with injuries and he's now 33.
Yeah. Yeah.
34. Oh, no, just turned 33.
Yeah, just turned 33 in June. Yeah, I think Kawhi is an interesting case because I think that there's like, there's always the what if with Kawhi. Like, there's a difference between, well, I don't know. Like, I don't want to call Kawhi out for, but there were plenty of times where his team and him were not on the same page with injuries.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. He played the 9 games in 17-18, right? That was the year that this all kind of hit the fan.
Yep.
Where he said he was injured, the Spurs said, "You're cleared. Like, we don't know what's wrong." And he basically said, "My body doesn't feel right." And so he played his 9 games. He goes to Toronto, wins the finals, is the finals MVP. Goes to the Clippers the next year, plays 57 games in the pandemic shortened season. But then 52 games, he tore his ACL in 21-22, came back, played 52 games the next year, played 68. But it's not like he's because Grant Hill had that stretch of 4 years where he played, what, like 45 games or whatever you said it was?
Yeah, like I think they're probably less than 100 games in 6 years, or right around 100 games.
Yeah, Kawhi never really had that kind of stretch.
Yeah.
He's had 1 year where he's played fewer than 52 games. But it's that, it's...
Well, he missed one full season, and he had one full season where he played 9 games.
Yes. Oh, that's right. He did miss a 21-22 season.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, I think when you look at it, though, it's the last few years, it's 2 games in this year's playoff, 2 games in last year's playoffs. It's the missing time during the regular season. So it's, I don't know if Kawhi belongs in this conversation.
Yeah.
Because here's the other thing, is there's not a stretch of years for him where he's missing. He was 4th in rookie of the year voting, and then he was 2nd team all defense, 1st team all defense, top 10 MVP, number 2 in MVP voting, 1st team all NBA, 1st team all defense, 3rd in MVP voting, 1st in NBA, 1st team all NBA, 1st team all defense, and that was 2016-17.
Mm-hmm.
Then he has the 9 game season. Then he comes back the next year, number 9 in MVP voting, 2nd team all defense, 2nd team all NBA, 6th in defensive player of the year voting. The next year, same type of accolades. The next year, 13th in MVP voting, 1st team all NBA, 2nd team all defense. Like, he's been racking up accolades still.
Yeah, no,
but
that's true.
There's like a reliability, right? In my mind, Kawhi Leonard is not a guy that you can rely on deep into a season and certainly into a playoff run.
No, not at all. No, I totally agree with that. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good discussion, man. There, you know, people just keep flooding in names.
There's so many. It's almost sad.
Yeah, Bill Walton, Maurice Stokes is probably one of the great, like, that's the one of the great what-ifs of all time. Ben Simmons, which we talked about yesterday, but Mark Wong pulled out the Chris Webber card.
I think Chris Webber is a really great single-season one.
Yeah, but like what happened to Chris Webber after the full, you know, blown out knee?
Yeah, he came back, and
he was solid, you know, to finish the 2003-04 season in Sacramento. He started the 2004-05, but realistically couldn't move at all anymore. He was just a shell.
Mm-hmm.
And you were hoping that he would return to form, but he puts up like 20.9, so 20-10. For Philadelphia as a 32-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the craziest. How in the world did he get that? Like, there was nothing left in his knees.
Mm-hmm.
So he had microfracture surgery. Yeah, that was a weird one. The Kings didn't tell anybody he had microfracture surgery for a long time. It was like early stages of microfracture surgery. Only him, like Danny Manning, Amari Stoudemire, Kenyon Martin. Like, there's a very select group of guys who had around that time frame that had micro. It was all new microfracture.
I think DeMarcus Cousins is another one that just came up that I think fits a little bit in that same bucket.
Yeah.
Where it looked like it right about the time it looked like he and Anthony Davis in New Orleans were kind of hitting their stride and starting to trend the right direction. He was 8 Achilles. And then
he popped his Achilles.
That was with New Orleans.
Yep. Then
the ACL tear was with Golden State.
Yeah, he signed with Golden State and then blew out his ACL in a pickup game leading up to the season.
Brutal.
Then he came back in the season late in the year, and then during the Houston series, he tore his quad off the top of the kneecap, which was absolutely one of the worst things I've ever seen. The picture of him walking off the court with like a muscle missing in his leg, like a V going up his leg.
Just horrible.
Absolutely wild. Yeah.
It makes me crazy.
Crazy. Like crazy.
Another single season one, and I kind of wonder if this player fits the overall discussion for people, is Chris Paul. Because I think if Chris Paul is healthy in the 2018?
It's the year after the bubble.
Yeah, it was 2018.
Oh.
In the conference finals, the Rockets go up 3-2 on the Warriors, and Chris Paul gets hurt. I think it was a calf or a groin or whatever it was, and can't finish the series. And the Warriors go on to win that series. I think if Chris Paul stays healthy in that series, I think that the Rockets win it, and I think they probably go on to win the finals, and Chris Paul's career is talked about dramatically differently. But instead, Chris Paul is just a guy that, yeah, he gets hurt in the playoffs. Same thing happened to him when he was with the Suns, and they went to the finals.
Yeah, yeah.
Got hurt.
No, every single time he had an opportunity to go win a chip, he got hurt.
God.
Yeah, really tough.
Yeah, so I don't throw him in the all-injury team bucket. In the same way that a Ralph Sampson or a Grant Hill or Greg Oden certainly or Brandon Roy fall in. Tough for the Blazers. I feel like they have a lot.
Yeah, you just kept saying Blazer names. Yeah, yeah.
Greg Oden, Sam Bowie.
They have that and then...
Brandon Roy.
A huge percentage, well, a bunch of their players from the 90s have already passed away. So, if I'm not mistaken, like Kevin Duckworth, Jerome Kersey, and Cliff Robinson have all passed away.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, weird. And, of course, they had Drazen Petrovic.
That's brutal, man.
Yeah.
Tough. Tough for Portland. Real quick, before we get out of here, shifting gears. Did you see, we gotta have a chat about our guy Jimmer.
Yeah.
Team USA, 3-on-3, both men's and women's, by the way, struggling at the Olympics. I'm sorry, 3x3.
3x3. We learned that today, right?
Yeah, I think I hate it. I get it, but I hate it. So in the interest of accuracy, Team USA, men's and women's, 3x3 basketball team struggling. Team USA lost to Poland 19-17.
Not a great look.
It's time to send in the NBA, guys. Not Jimmer and who is it? Canyon Berry.
Yeah.
And
I don't think I know the other guys.
Yeah. So this is the women's team, the 3x3 women's team are players who could conceivably play in next year's 5-on-5 Olympic team.
But they haven't done well either.
They're struggling too, for sure. And I know Cameron Brink from Stanford, who now plays for the LA Sparks. I know she was supposed to be on that team and tore her ACL. So they had to, at the last minute, kind of adjust what they were doing there. But I think for the men, why not? Or maybe not NBA guys, but some of the players on the select team, why are you not grabbing players from the select team to be the 3-on-3?
No, I totally agree. There is a system to the 3-on-3 play. Like,
oh, is there?
Like we're watching, like... You know, like if you make a basket, you don't do a natural inbounds pass. It like
gets
fired. Like you have to understand the way that it goes, but it sort of seemed like it
doesn't
matter.
I feel like you could cross train that.
I guess.
If you know that you have your select team and you know that you've got this, because from that select team, you're going to have seven or eight guys who you conceivably would want to send to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can work them in separately, maybe playing some 3-on-3 games during practices and getting them used to the rules and the gameplay, et cetera, et cetera.
I think they play 3-on-3 anyways all the time.
Yeah.
If you just like made it part of your routine, and it's really good cardio because the way the game, it's 10 minutes, but it's like rapid fire the whole time, running clock, like fire. Yeah, so I don't know.
If you haven't watched the 3x3 basketball in the Olympics, there's no inbounds. It's not like bucket gets scored, okay, hang on, check ball at the top, loser's takeout. It's loser's takeout, but you pull the ball out of the basket and you got to clear it.
You got to clear. That's it.
And there's no stopping. It's a 10-minute quarter or first team to 21, and they just haul ass by ones and twos.
Yeah.
It is fun.
But
I really
watch these guys lose,
we got to be better.
It's not fun.
We got to get better.
We got to get better.
All right. We also got to go to break. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. Jiffy Lube's spot.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.